Just give us a bit of a heads up while you're doing that, in case we are.
Sorry, I'm too busy. Right then, it's time to get going. Hello and welcome to the chat up. Right, point deducted to Kirby. All right, well, before we get started, let's go in. So, that's great. I've got the scoreboard on the screen. So it's scoring as we go, rather than me trying to remember what I've taken off and added on throughout the process. Right then, let's try that again. Hello. Right, who was that? Nobody can own up to that one. Right.
APP Services, the Marzi and Boop1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam, and there are times, Doctor, when you do talk absolute nonsense. And here's Mary Lang.
Excellent.
That was last week.
Andy, I know. Nunny. It's this week too.
Oh, okay. Andy Nunny.
It's huge.
I know it is, but we're trying to get a quote for the show, if you wouldn't mind, Andy.
That is one.
Oh, okay. Debbie Melrose.
That, Doctor, kilt.
Can you say that one again? Because somebody coughed over it.
That, Doctor, is a kilt.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
The Scarison is our life source. We Zygons depend upon its lactic fluid for survival.
You. Yes, this week we're looking at Terror of the Zygons.
What?
Terror of the Zygons, Kirby. That's
no. What did Debbie say?
I said you had to pick the grossest quote.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you could understand the Zygons, because I couldn't.
They all had a few throat issues, didn't they?
Yes, quite a few.
Yeah. Well, what was that? Was that Orville?
But the only thing I could understand was excellent.
that makes sense then. The fact that why you used that particular thing.
Believe it or not, the voices, Master. Yeah. The voices were John Woodnut's idea.
Were they?
He got with the Radiophonic Workshop people, and they worked it out. But
how to do a whisper?
Something like that.
The Duke.
Fascinating. Oh, no, so way. We can do a whisper. Hello, is my video frozen? No, it hasn't.
Sorry if you hear background noise. Isla is singing her head off in the bathroom.
Oh dear, I hope she manages to retain her head. That could be quite disastrous. Right, this week, like I said, we'll go. How is everybody, by the way? Those of you who couldn't be bothered to be on the show last time.
I was.
Refit done. My shop refit is done at last. Got phase two next week, but hopefully I don't have to be there till 9 o'clock every night while that's going on.
We had Sunday rugby, so I couldn't make it.
But apparently it was rubbish, you said.
It was awful. They were dreadful. They got actually thrashed by the Wasps. They were awful. They were crap yesterday as well.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, well, I watched most of it, but it was awful.
Well, I do apologise for that. So let's get on with some podcasting. Right, Terror of the Zygons begins with the title sequence and a radio conversation. Shut up. Shut up. Thank you. A radio conversation with some stereotypical oil rig Scottish people talking about haggis and stuff like that just before the oil rig tumbles over into the sea and explosions, whatever.
I love haggis.
Do you? Well, we sell it at M&S, by the way.
I've always wanted to try it.
Well, it's lovely.
Order it in from M&S. We sell it. Yes, and then we see the Doctor, Sarah and Harry marching through some woods. A doctor holding some gadget, which no doubt is trying
Master?
To... Oh.
What about the deleted scene?
Yeah.
Well, surely the deleted scene wasn't actually in the episode, was it?
Oh, well, it was in the... It's on the DVD.
Yes, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the story.
Well, the thing is, it was interesting, but because obviously we had the same director as the invasion.
Yes.
And he even used one of the same locations later on. Right. And he was trying to redo the whole Invisible TARDIS thing. So they attempted the invisible TARDIS materialization, but unfortunately the light had changed in the 20 minutes between the setups. So the he didn't like the way that the it looked at with the line down the middle.
Right, okay.
Where the invisible TARDIS was, and so that's why they decided to drop it.
Thank you for that, Kirby. I had no knowledge of that. No. Right, so the doctor, like I said, the doctor, Sarah, and Harry are marching through the woods. The doctor has a device in his hand. There's a particular bit of the field that they all wander over, which looks very much like the field that they shot Sontaran experiment in.
It's that.
I'm just saying it looks like it. That's all.
How far is it from close to Alan T. Butcher's place to up where the Hound Tor is? Is it 20 miles or something?
How would I know?
We don't know.
Wakey, Debbie.
Are we you up?
Sorry.
Harry's wearing the Doctor's scarf, so the first ever bit of Doctor Who cosplay done by another character actually in Doctor Who, which is quite interesting. And Sarah's wearing the hat, so I'd just like to point that out. And then they get picked up by is it the real Lord Thingamajig or the Zygon version?
No, it's the Zygon.
Oh, it was very friendly to Zygon. He gave them a lift to
right to unit.
To the unit. People, where we see some favourite characters like Mr. Benton and the Brigadier. Yes.
Just said Benton.
Mm. Now this is actually Sussex, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it is. You didn't know that?
I wasn't really bothered, to be fair, but. Okay.
Lord. Oh, this is
story. Not looking up everywhere. Every scene.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I did see a rather interesting.
We just talk about the story.
No, I did. I did see rather an interesting bit of footage of an interview on BBC South with Tom Baker while they were sort of behind the scenes shooting this episode. That was quite interesting. I don't know who posted that.
They were shooting it about 2 miles from Alan T. Butcher's house.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
And it's right, and isn't it practically right across the Solent?
So essentially, it was a closely studied behind-the-scenes view of Doctor Who as filming in the 1970s. Right.
No, seriously, isn't it right across the Solent from you?
It's actually close. No, actually, Kirby, Sussex is actually closer to me than to Adam.
Okay. I don't know exactly where.
Well,
Guildford
put it this way. Guildford, probably due south for me, would get me into Sussex, because Brighton, which is the main part of Sussex, is virtually due south. So there's some of the places I've been to. I can actually cycle there. It's that close.
Right,
Master.
Yes,
Master. The beach involved is the same beach from. Oh darn. What is it?
The same beach from R.O. Darn. Is that a place in Scotland?
From Enemy of the World.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Right. So anyway, the Brigadier's a little bit peeved because the Doctor is a bit late, but he does eventually turn up. And they take the Mickey out of the Brigadier's kilt. But there's a point at which the Doctor says, "What is that?" And the Brigadier says, "That Doctor is a kilt." Now, the Doctor's recently travelling with Jamie, so why would he not already know it's a kilt?
Yeah. And he knows Scottish music, so, you think he would know a little bit more.
It's unusual for the Brigadier. He didn't expect it. That's why.
I know that. Oh, good grief. Anyway.
Also, that was a bit... That's not in the script. That was a bit worked out in rehearsal.
Which bit?
The whole... Their discussion about the kilt. They weren't really going to talk about that. He was just going to be wearing it.
Okay. So anyway, then we see a little bit of friction between the Zygon Lord and Kirby Bartlett Sloane, who look a bit younger in those days, but he's wearing his check shirt in the disguise of Mr. Huckle in this particular story. But Kirby, you look quite young in that episode.
I was wondering how Huckle got his accent. He's actually from Canada. That's how he's able to sound very American.
Okay. Well, I don't think he stated he was American, did he?
He's from the oil company, which is pretty much an American.
Well, they might have employed Canadian people.
whatever.
Right, so they can't. They do spend quite a long time taking the mickey out of the Briggs killed, and then of course he explains his name's Lethbridge Stewart from the clan Stewart. Anyhow, so there's a type.
Oh, and his Tardon is the proper Stewart Tardon, and the doctor's scarf is a variation of a slightly different, but still official Stewart Tardon.
Just looked like a long typical Fourth Doctor scarf to me.
The one he's wearing during the scene.
Right, who's fiddling?
Not me.
They quickly sent into work, because they've just had a very stressful time on Nerva, but nevertheless they're all sent straight to work to try and investigate what's been going on with these oil rigs. And then we meet that bloke from Crossroads. I mean, he was also in The Great Escape with Steve McQueen. It's quite an interesting fact you may or may not have known.
Which bloke? What's Crossroads?
Crossroads is an appalling series that came from Birmingham, and frankly, us Brummies are ashamed to admit it.
Yeah, he played the chef in Crossroads Motel, the old defunct afternoon soap opera that used to be on
TV. So, are you talking about the character Angus, who's played by an actor named Angus?
Quite possibly so, if he's the one that wears a blue cardigan. Now he's thinking, right? Yes, yeah. He's the one that finds the bug and gets killed for it later on in the story. Yeah, him, yeah. He was in The Great Escape, which was a film with Steve McQueen, a classic
I didn't know that.
Hollywood movie. I'm pretty sure he is.
His name is Angus, and his real name is Angus.
Okay. Never mind, eh? Would have been easy for him to play the part then, surely.
And during the scene when excuse me. Dear. During the scene when he's singing... He's not really singing. He didn't know a bit of the language. It's actually Dougie Camfield who's doing the singing.
Splendid. Didn't know that. Didn't really want to know that. But there you go. Right. I'll tell you what. I do like the bit that where he tells Sarah the sort of the scary story in typical sort of Scottish way. It's the same way that in Dad's Army, there was a Scottish character in Dad's Army that always used to tell the scary stories.
Hugh Laurie.
That's it, Hugh Laurie.
John Laurie.
The other bloke, John Laurie, that's it, yeah, John Laurie.
John Laurie, yes.
Which I quite thought was stereotypical, but nevertheless quite enjoyable. And then a sort of half-dead body washes up on the shore. You think, oh, lucky man, he's just survived. Then Harry finds him. Harry finds him, and then some Scottish bloke shoots him. Quite a violent scene, actually, because, of course, Harry gets shot in the head as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the head rather than in the head. Otherwise,
it's a glancing blow, isn't it? It's like a ping off him.
I don't think it would have left the little red smudge that it actually left on his head if he had that sort of glancing blow. It would have to have been very glancing. But it's quite...
That was awfully... Very violent cool. For a children's show.
It was violent. That's the point I was trying to make. A very violent scene, which they tried to sort of counteract with an extremely unviolent bit of facial special effects. You know, makeup and stuff. Never mind. Right, so there's a funny scene which the Doctor and Harry are... So the Doctor and Sarah are having a bit of a conversation while the Doctor's fiddling with something in typical Doctor way, trying to... He's got a circuit board, basically, he's fiddling with it. And the phone rings, and Sarah answers it in a taking the mickey out of Scottish people voice. And then, Harry's been shot.
That was possibly going to be one of my quotes. What, and Harry's then the shot. Wonderful, wonderful control panel of the Zygon ship.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes.
It was obviously supposed to be a little bit... rude, but they got away with it. But yeah, I tell you what, all the Zygon setup was fantastic, to be fair. Although some of the, you know, they had the sort of organic look of it, which I thought worked really well. But some of the view screens didn't quite fit in with it, you know. But I still thought it was a fantastic set, one of the best of the 70s, if not the best sets that they ever did. So they go and visit Harry in the
next time is one of the best sets.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the jungle thing, remember?
Oh, they that's a pretty good set. No, I'm talking about, this is, oh, never mind. I still think that the Zygon set.
I know what you mean.
It's because it felt really, I mean, when I was a child around this time, I dreamt about the Zygons and this particular spaceship, because it really was realistic for me in those days. And even now, I think it does look, I mean, you know, it's rubber or whatever, but the way they painted it to look that bright sort of reddish sort of crimson colour does really make it look organic. And I think it still works now.
It really did feel like you were like inside something as well, you know. Well, wasn't a pleasant thing. And obviously as a kid, that would really resonate with you, definitely.
No, it was very organic. I think it was very, very well set.
Yes.
I think it worked really well.
Thank you. At least, all right, go on. Andy. So Debbie. That'll do. just verifying what I was saying. Right, yes, anyway, back to the episode. Yeah, so they go and visit Harry in the hospital. In the sick bay, while the doctor makes... they have a part of the oil rig, and he puts a bit of plaster of Paris inside one of the dents in the concrete, and at this point, the Zygons are watching him, deciding he knows a little bit too much, a bit too clever. So Harry, meanwhile, wakes up, and we immediately know that there's something up with the nurse, because she's got a very sort of vacant sort of look to her.
Or as Fred said, she's scary.
Yeah,
and, she's seriously scary. She is, my God.
I reckon Elizabeth Sladen might have given us some tips on how to look possessed while doing these scenes. And that's right. And then Sarah gets scared half out of her wits when she turns around and sees a very scary Zygon attacking her, basically.
I thought, actually, compared to obviously modern Zygons, I thought these were actually scarier.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
That's why I can't understand why they never brought them back during that era, because they would have had the costumes and they were such an effective monster. Maybe they were too scary. I don't know.
I watched Day of the Doctor last night, and I really, the orange goop coming out of the Zygons' mouths and everything—it's just not the same. These Zygons are better.
Yeah, I agree, but I still like the Zygons of the modern era as well.
Yeah.
Right, so Sarah gets scared half out of her wits. The doctor, obviously, there's a point in which they realise that something odd's going on and that they'd left Sarah in that environment. So the doctor and Benton head back to the hospital and try and find where she's disappeared to. And the doctor's more or less coerced into going into the decompression chamber. Bless you. And finds Sarah in there, cowering up against the wall. Of course, gets then shut in, and all the air gets sucked out. Harry, meanwhile, has been kidnapped by the Zygons, and has explained a few details by the Zygons. Sarah,
did you find it, Master?
Yeah.
I found it so surprising in this story, and in, I believe, the last story, where we get all sorts of extra, too much information. In the last story, too much information was given by Sarah to the Cybermen. Mm-hmm. In this story, too much information is given by the Zygon to Harry about why they're there and all this stuff. It's just,
I'm not too sure whether it's too much information. It's information for the viewer, which I suppose would be quite useful.
I know why it's there. It's just it didn't seem realistic.
But I don't think it actually harms.
If you can't understand what is being said, it's a long period of time.
So basically what you're saying, Mary, what you're saying is that the Zygons sound like Andy. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. What I resemble that remark.
Excellent. Right. So tell you what I thought was quite impressive. The Zygon spaceship. I thought it was actually really good design. Really, I don't think that would be out of place in a modern episode of Doctor Who.
I know we're going towards the end a lot. We have the Doctor set the self-destruct, and he said we've got 60 seconds to get a spaceship.
Yes.
And that spaceship was pretty large.
Yes. Yeah,
and got 60 seconds to get out of there.
Yeah, 60 seconds to get out. What about the amount of time they'd have to run away from it before it explodes?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it really was sort of, blimey, that's a big spaceship to get away from. And also, I mean, again, no jumping ahead. How did he know that was why would you have a self-destruct mechanism anyway?
Well, would you say that about the Well, the Starfleet ships have a self-destruct. In fact, I was watching... I'm starting to watch the Star Trek animated series because I never really got to watch them all in order. They're on Netflix, and I've been really enjoying those stories at the moment. I think I've got it to episode 3, and they were going to use the self-destruct mechanism in that. So it's been about for a bit, self-destruct.
Yeah, those are very good. The animation sucks, but the stories make up for it.
I don't think the matter. I suppose it isn't that the greatest animation, but I think they are absolutely fantastic. And I remember, like, it's one of those rare things. Sorry about this, listeners going off on a Star Trek tangent, but it's one of those rare moments, a thing I remember from my childhood that I'm revisiting, and it's just as good as I remember it. It's still good, you know what I mean? Because some things you revisit, and that's actually not that good. It's like I revisited The $6 Million Man. I was quite disappointed because I used to love it when I was a child. It was my favourite show. But yeah, back to Doctor Who. I beg your pardon?
Me and the Tripods. I was terrified of the Tripods TV series. Yes. I revisited it and was very disappointed.
Yeah.
But the Tripods is good. It's just I wish they'd finished it.
Mm. Yes.
And the books are fantastic.
The books are amazing. And I read them well after I'd seen them. But oh, my days.
Oh, it's a bit like Blake Seven in some ways.
Novels years before I knew there was a series made.
Hmm. Anyway, back to the show. So, like I say, I thought the design of the Zygon spaceship, although, you know, it did rather contradict the interior, bearing in mind the interior is all that organic stuff, but yet the exterior was all looked like futuristic, either metal or rock or something like that. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was a great design. Back to the pub and the Brigadier and his little sort of understudies all get gassed. And Benton finds the Doctor and Sarah and rescues them from the, what do they call that thing? The chamber, the decompression chamber. Of course, I love that whole setup with that, where the Doctor hypnotizes Sarah into,
basically
not breathing. Now, I watched a show a while back where you get these idiots that think it's a good idea to go underwater and hold their breath for about 15 minutes. And it's doable, but how stupid, because you can kill yourself. I don't know how they do it, but apparently once you get past, there's a point which when you're holding your breath and it gets really, really painful. Once you get past that painful bit, you can actually hold it for a bit longer. But and this is what these people did. There was a show about it, and it reminded me of this thing with Sarah and what the Doctor did to her to help her through the pain of not being able to breathe. And I thought it was really good, very Time Lordy. I thought that was very fitting in with him to being the Time Lord that he was. The fact that he used the same sort of techniques the Master would have used in regards to the hypnotizing, and there's quite a mystic element to it because he said it was a trick he learnt from a Tibetan monk. That's probably Kampo Rinpoche, I would imagine. But all in all, I loved that scene. I thought it was fantastic. So meanwhile, back to the story. So the Zygons have nicked loads of humans that they can use body prints of, but the Doctor has the little tracking thing that the monster, we have sort of skipped over the Knock Loch Ness monster or the Scarazan or what you want to call it, follows this homing device, I think. And so the Zygons plot to get it back.
Right, hang on. We've got somebody who wants to come say goodnight. Don't say night-night. Say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Zach. Have a nice sleep.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, right, go on. Night-night, little man. Kiss for Daddy. Kiss for Daddy. Go on. Night-night, little man. Right.
Nice sound effect.
He's clutching Gordon in one hand and his fire engine in the other hand.
Yes. Lovely. Right then. Right.
Okay,
so,
right. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Yes. So anyway, Zygon Harry nicks the little homing device and runs off, and followed by Sarah, and then followed by Sarah and a few eunuch troops. and then decides to go and try and hide in a barn, and then attacks.
What got me with Sarah? She's running. You know, she's got boots on, yeah, like sort of lady boots, and yet she's running at the same speed as these probably quite fit.
Faster. She's keeping ahead of them.
Yeah, I know. Sort of, yeah, blindly.
Isn't that amazing?
Maybe the soldiers aren't that fit. They got a full army regalia on, aren't they? So maybe it was a bit more difficult for them to run.
They should be quite. They should be quite fit and active and athletic.
Maybe they should. They had just come out the pub. Right. So Sarah has a little bit of a fight with Harry, Harry Zygon, who attacks her with a pitchfork and then falls off the top of the barn onto something very painful. And then because the Zygons don't want him to be caught, they disperse his body. I would have thought they would have had the technology to beam him back aboard, but nope, they dispersed his body rather gruesomely. And there's a scene also just after that in which the Doctor and Sarah are having a discussion with the Brigadier. The Sarah's there sat with her boots on the table, which is, I think they perhaps sort of flipped that round, because the Doctor would have been the more fitting person to be sat with his feet on a table, because future incarnations of the Doctor did that quite a lot. No? Okay, I'll carry on then.
Yes, most memorably, Seven doing it at the same time when they're talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saying the Doctor again.
Thank you for that. Right, the Doctor, meanwhile, decides to run off with the homing device, but it gets stuck to his hand. And it seems to be quite painful when it's stuck to his hand, because he yells a few and you see his teeth a lot. You can always tell when he's in pain, because you see his teeth a lot.
It shows and, his teeth.
Yeah. And, of course, the episode ends with the Zygon saying, "Destroy him!"
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the monster actually gets distracted. So the Zygons think the Doctor's been done in, because I think the signal's lost between them and the monster or something like that. So he's able to get away, run back to the road, get a cadger lift with the Brigadier, while the unit people and that go searching for bugs in the pub. And Benton looks straight in at the bug and completely misses it.
Yeah, if it's that obvious, why did
Yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, it's been done before in Doctor Who, where the bugging device is in the eyes of a
yeah. Kind of stuff. Was yeah. that like no? We have no. I was thinking of Pyramids of Mars. We haven't got there yet, have we?
Not yet.
Yeah, where have we seen it so far in the journey?
I can't remember.
Oh, was it a Third Doctor? Because I'm seeing a it was black and white.
Was
so
it a painting or something like that? That had it.
Yeah. Oh well.
Doesn't matter. Does
we'll
it?
We won't.
Anyway.
But when I saw that, I thought, gee, we've seen this before. Why didn't they know this?
Indeed. So the Doctor, the Brigadier, and Sarah go to the castle where Lord lives. And while they're there...
How do you spell that?
Never mind. While they're there having a discussion with him,
he's the Duke of Forgill.
Oh, that Duke of Forgill, the Duke then. While they're having a...
Duke, yes. Duke, not Duke.
Thank you. Well, while they're having a discussion with him, Angus discovers the bug and gets done in by Nurse Zygon. Nurse Zygon sort of runs off through the bushes and gets shot by Benton, to be fair. I like to think it was Benton. Sarah's offered a few books to read. And Nurse Zygon is discovered in the woods with some blood running down her arm, but she clubs the very caring unit officer over the head with a rock. Yes.
Douglas Camfield at first did not like the fact that they were having her arm look all bloody, because he didn't think that the copy of the Zygon would show an injury that was made to a Zygon, but then he consulted with his actors. Everyone said, oh, it makes sense. Go ahead and do it. And then later on, he admitted, yes, this was the right way to go.
Do you think it was the right way to go, Kirby?
Yes.
So do I.
What got me with the Zygon was with the Duke. At one point, he took his gloves off. So it's like there's actually part of him is actually totally separate. So how did he manage that? So I... That just puzzled me, that did.
Well, if you look...
Nice one, Andy.
Master.
Yes?
If you look at the... You know, you've got the lineup of all the humans in the cubicles on the Zygon ship.
Yes.
And there's two major scenes of that. One in the first episode, one in the fourth episode. The Duke is wearing different clothes.
Okay.
Between the first episode and the fourth episode.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah, he acquires a hat somewhere along the way.
Yes.
So anyway, right, so the Doctor and Brigadier leave Sarah in the castle, and once again it leads to them realising that they'd left Sarah in a rather dangerous position. So she goes poking around the library, and then they leave a door open for deliberately, I feel, so she can wander down a corridor and discover the spaceship. And she does. She discovers some people in cubicles, like you say, and then she discovers Harry in a little room, and they have a little bit of typical Harry Sarah banter. Sorry, Debbie.
Why didn't they put Harry in a cubicle?
Because he didn't have an active cadaver. Is it what they call those?
Oh, that's right. It had been dispersed.
Yes,
you're correct.
So.
I was just saying about the fact that he proves it's him by calling her old girl.
Yeah.
There was the proving of the proving of who they are was quite flimsy, but the Zygon versions, apart from the Dukes, were very different from the real versions. They were a bit slightly more aggressive and angry, weren't they? And I said that because I said aggressive, but they weren't quite themselves. Master, yes,
Master, if you look at the Zygons. You mainly see, I believe, at most three of them. And Broton, the main one, he actually has a microphone that you can see in his top sucker in front of his mouth.
For goodness sake, Kirby.
And the other two are not actually speaking. They're mouthing words done by other people live.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby. Oh, go on then. God's sake. Maybe they're giving you a point, might shut you up. Right. Joshua Dybull has come on the Facebook live feed and said, totally agrees about Star Trek, the animated series. The music and sound effects topped the original series. Although I have a great affection for the music from the original series, I do also enjoy the music from the animated series. So thank you for that, Joshua.
You haven't used the fight music on the podcast.
Not for a while, no, because there hasn't been... Oh, go on then, Kirby. Right, go and have a quick discussion with Debbie about something.
No. No, I won't.
That didn't last long, did it? Right. You're not supposed to laugh, Debbie. You're supposed to have a pedantic argument.
I think the music in this story is really, really good.
Yes.
Not that beep, bah, 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 stuff that we've been, you know, subjected to before. It's actual nice music that builds tension and does everything. I love the music.
I totally agree with Mary. That's a great observation. All right. Yeah, so...
Jeffrey Burgon did the music. He also did the music for one of the Monty Python movies.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I remember which one.
Didn't know that. Thank you, Kirby. Right then. I do love the banter between Harry and Sarah. Like you say, when she's works out that it's the real Harry because he called her old girl. And they get out of the ship back into the castle. And then Broton turns up and the Brigadier decides to bomb the hell out of them. The Doctor Who gets kidnapped, doesn't he, by... Actually, no, they come out, the Doctor goes in on his own and then screams, so he obviously gets kidnapped by the Zygon. Stupid thing to do, really, by the Doctor, to go back in and get kidnapped by them, but maybe it was a logical plan, I don't know. So, like I say, the Brigadier bombs the hell out of the Zygons, but misses because the ship takes off and heads south.
It's already pretty much as far as... Never mind. It's in pretty much south of England already, even though it's supposed to be Scotland.
Yeah, thank you for that.
South England would be Spain.
Well, essentially, it was travelling north, but for the sake of the story, they were travelling south. Billy Kurt Bright says, "Or magic." Well, thank you for tuning in so early in the morning, Billy. And, yes, so the spaceship takes off, and the Doctor has a lot of typical Fourth Doctor banter with the Zygons. Lots of grinning and lots of mickey-taking and putting down and sort of a lot of trying to coerce them into torturing him, basically. But typical Fourth
Doctor stuff. Just some wonderful stuff. This is wonderful Fourth Doctor stuff in this one.
Absolutely. And some of the Fourth Doctor sort of lines that stood out, like, boom! Sounds like the Brigadier. And things like that. Yeah. Yeah, so that Harry and Sarah return to the castle. Of course, the spaceship's not there anymore, but they try to sort of look through lots of paperwork and stuff like that to get some ideas of what's been going on and what the plans that the Duke had, or Broton has, but didn't really find anything. So, yeah, and then, of course, the Zygons show off to the Doctor, and then Broton changes into the Duke and sort of rather sort of arrogantly tells him what he's going to do. He's going to sort of...
Let me give you all my plans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was lots of revealing of plans going on in this story.
Yeah.
So I think I've got a funny feeling what Mary's going to say, but I'm going to carry on anyway. Yeah, and there's a phone call, a very iconic phone call that arrives from the Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
In which the Brigadier says... hello, madam, or something like that. But I thought, wasn't there a story earlier in which the Prime Minister,
yes.
Was the Prime Minister was a woman? Hello?
What?
Wasn't there an earlier story in which the Prime Minister was a woman?
I don't remember.
Yeah, there was.
Yes, there was. Oh,
wasn't there the Green Death or something like that?
It's Devil's End. Come on.
Yeah, that you're talking about
demons.
The demons.
Demons, yeah.
Was it? No, I couldn't remember. It was
the demons, demons, yes.
Yeah, the demons, yes. All right, so at some point, the Doctor manages to get all the originals, cadavers, I know you said, out of the spaceship. And in 60 seconds and hide behind a sand dune while... the Doctor sets up a massive sort of explosion because it's going to be self-destructed.
One thing that was very clever, Master.
Yes.
One thing that was very clever is originally they were thinking for the countdown in the spaceship that they were going to have a dial or some numbers counting down, but instead to have the tubes fill up.
Yeah. It's good.
Much more organic.
Very thoughtful.
Feeling. It's really genius.
I agree. I love it. So anyway, they all leg it and the spaceship blows itself up. And, of course, they quickly realise that they can get out of the problem by having the real Duke go and, stand by in London while the Doctor and Sarah challenge Broton. And he gets shot, doesn't he?
He does sort of go rather easily, doesn't he?
Yeah. And the Doctor has a little homing device. And, of course, the Loch Ness Monster, meanwhile, has arrived in the River Thames. And he throws it, goes, fetch, essentially. And back he goes to Loch Ness, and the Doctor travels back to Scotland, probably a bit slower this time, and leaves, basically, and says goodbye to Brigadier, but he doesn't know it's the last time he will see the Brigadier, the Fourth Doctor.
I mean, don't you wonder the way the Brig and the Prime Minister are talking about, oh, we'll keep low profile, keep it hush, you know, nobody will know, mm-hmm. And then you've got this ginormous monster in the Thames by the... you can hear all the people screaming, and it's like, okay, we're keeping this low profile, aren't we?
it's like the Brigadier does say, well, a 50-foot monster can't swim up the Thames and attack a large building without some people noticing. You know what politicians are like.
Anyway, Joshua.
By the way, that building is the same building from the invasion. It's.
Did it sound like Andy yawned or Debbie yawned? Or
someone
like
yawned.
I sneezed.
You sneezed. Yeah, okay. All right then. Joshua Dybul says, the Ark in space? Don't know what he's referring to there. And then he says, female PM. Was it the Ark in space?
No, it's the demons.
Yeah, payments. I thought it was. Yeah. And then he said, no, wasn't she leader of the world? Yes, I know he's referring to, no, it's Frontier in Space, wasn't it? Where it was Frontier in Space.
The
president of the world is a woman, yes.
But a female prime minister was the demons.
Yes. And well done, Andy. Oop, missed the bell then. Well, that one, I think, definitely deserves a point for working that one out. Right, so, the Terror of the Zygons, right. Brilliance. Proper Doctor Who, this story is. There is obviously a couple of little bits you can pick up. And if you really, really want to be picky about certain aspects of minor details in my personal view, the story is brilliantly paced. It's got the right amount of horror and the right amount of comedy. It's got favourite characters in it, Brigadier and stuff like that, a bit of UNIT, Benton and everything. It's got everything you want from Doctor Who in it. It's absolute brilliance. So I don't really want to say much more of that because I just can't think of anything bad to say about it. But I know somebody is going to say something bad about it later on. But Kirby, what did you think?
I'm not going to say anything bad about it because I absolutely love it. I don't care if the Scarison is very obviously a puppet at some point. Yeah. It's not,
it was very Drashig-esque, wasn't it?
Very Drashig-esque. The thing is about this, I mentioned this when you brought me in for like a 15-minute phone call back when I first joined the podcast ages ago. This story is one that indirectly got me interested in Doctor Who because when I was in high school, I was working at the Little Rock Public Library, and I was checking out all sorts of books, not just science fiction books, but books about science fiction. And it was we got a new book about had stuff on science fiction on television, and there was a picture in it of the it must have been broadcast within a year of the time that I saw the book, a picture of a Zygon.
Yes.
And I looked at this picture and went, that looks weird.
Yeah.
Why do I even want to watch this thing? That's just strange. And within a couple of years, I'd seen the story and just changed my mind completely. And so I thought Doctor Who looked weird, and I wasn't interested at all from a picture of Zygon.
Oh, well, sorry it disappointed you. Oh, you love it now. Okay.
I absolutely love this story. And, you know, this was one of the last of the DVDs to come out.
All right.
And I was so happy.
It was, yes, that's right. I alluded to this last week. I had to keep my VHS copy for ages. Oh, sorry. Have you finished, Kirby?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. Debbie, have you seen this one before?
No, I hadn't seen this one before.
Oh.
I really, it was just the right length.
Hey!
That's what she said.
I'll just be able to you. There you go. And, I really enjoyed it. I'd been feeling for a couple of episodes that Harry might have sort of seen the end of his sort of character. So when I found out this was his last stint, it did feel like his time had been done properly.
That's a shame. Oh, you mean agree he should have carried on, though?
I don't know. I just felt that knowing what's coming and everything, I just thought he had his time in the TARDIS and he was like, do you know what? I'm done. Thanks very much.
I suppose if you look at it that way, it makes sense, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm, okay. It, rather than people getting fed up with the dynamics and, you know, he was quite a generic character, you know, a man type thing. You know, and it was just getting to the point where the old girl thing was getting tiring and, he was just... His time had come, and I felt that they wrote him well for this episode and this story. And
it was a good way for him to leave. I agree that way, but it's just a shame it had to come so soon.
No, I don't know. But other than that, I just really enjoyed it. I thought the Loch Ness monster was hysterical, obviously, but I can see at the time that it would have scared a lot of kids, definitely, because you've got to remember this is really, you know, for children. And but the Zygons were fantastic. I understood what they were saying, but I could see how people wouldn't be able to hear them because I did have to go back a couple of times just to get a sentence and things. But yeah, it was just really good Doctor Who. really, yeah, fine, lovely.
Little tip, Debbie, when it comes to, you know, when you start realizing you're going to struggle to understand what they're saying, subtitles.
That Debbie and I watch don't have subtitles.
Well, yes. In that case, I'll let you off. Andy, what did you think?
I never had trouble, even in 1980 when I first saw this, understanding them.
I've never had trouble. Anyway, Andy, what did you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed this. You know, really did. I think it's a really good story. I think it's very well written. The characterization is very good. Obviously, special effects aren't brilliant. Yes, you're quite right. The Scarrison is...
I wouldn't say all the special effects, because obviously the special effects regarding the actual set of the Zygon ship and the Zygons themselves, brilliant. But yes, I agree.
You're right. They are actually quite good. And, you know, they're obviously very organic, which is what they're meant to be. But no, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a very, very good story. Tom Baker is. It's really interesting when you look at him, because the way he plays it, I think he plays it really, really well. Harry is being typically Harry and enjoying himself thoroughly. Sarah is, hey, I'm Sarah. And the Brig is brilliant. Yeah. And I just think it really, really works so well.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, everybody. Go on, Mary, put us out of our misery.
I can't really say anything negative about the production values or the acting. And as I said, I loved the music in it. And I felt that each of the episodes went along at a very nice pace. But I felt that the fourth episode was so rushed. I was like, you know, trying to catch up with everything that was going on because things were happening so quickly. I'm actually in a position of saying that I think they could have taken it on to another episode. To make all of that, you know, spin out a little bit more reasonably than, you know, quick run here. You got 60 seconds there. We're going to blow up the ship. No, we're going to self-destruct the ship. You know, it's like run, 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 run. And it's like, whoa, you know, everything's being figured out very quickly. And other than the Broton, the leader of the Zygons, having verbal diarrhea, you know, loving to carry on about their whole history to Harry, and then wanting to tell all the future plans to the doctor. And as we were saying, they're very hard to understand. You know, I guess maybe it's partly an American thing, but I can't. Debbie had trouble too. So yeah, I was rewinding a lot, trying to listen really hard to, you know, to figure out all that the especially Broton was saying. So that, you know, because I struggled with that was an issue for me. The quickness of the fourth episode was a little bit of an issue. Otherwise, you know, it was okay. It was okay. Not my favorite, but an okay episode.
Oh, that's not as bad as I expected to hear. So mm-hmm. Fair enough.
If Sarah is starting to get her, as you said, I'm Sarah. And Sarah's starting to get those qualities that I think are going to become irritating for me later on when she gets a little full of herself. Yeah. And the one thing I do want to say is that this story did seem to mark the end of an era, in that, you know, we're saying goodbye to UNIT in this. We're saying goodbye to the Brig. We're saying goodbye to Harry. And think of UNIT, what a great send-off. They actually got a monster that they could shoot and kill. Which I remember the Brig, you know, mourning over in Robot. You know, I wish we had a monster, you know, that we could actually have an effect on. And then with the doctor saying to the Brig, you know, is that explosion, you know, big enough for you? It's kind of like UNIT's getting everything that it ever wanted. So now we say goodbye.
Yes. Well, it's not a total goodbye yet, because there are a few more UNIT stories, but not with the UNIT characters. We're
UNIT centered. Like
we don't see the Brig again till Mordred Undead, do we?
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah,
no spoilers there, listeners, if you're joining in on the journey. You've never seen Doctor Who before. No spoilers there at all.
Sorry.
It's all right. We'll forget about it by that time.
Okay.
Oh, it's the Brig. Hooray!
It's the Brig. Where did he come from?
Okay, now it's time for feedback, and let's see what we've got in the little feedback. Did you post anything on Facebook, Kirby, in regards to the request?
Of course I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
Let's have a look and see if anything arrived then, shall we?
Oh, there's some bloke in Sussex has posted something that Debbie's going to hate.
No. I've just sent it to you. via some bloke in Sussex, because you desperately pleaded with me a couple of weeks ago that you wanted to do that particular link.
So I'm going to read.
You have done, but at the moment I'm just going to look at other feedback just to give you a chance to digest it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No one has said anything on my thread. So
good. So I'll carry on there with the normal feedback. So let's see what we got other than what I've just sent to Mr. Nunny. Jeff Waddle says, it's set in Scotland, so naturally a great story. Broton is a great yes. villain stroke monster, and I can still remember being terrified at the end of episode one. I was only six. The only thing letting this down was the Scarazan, which, of course, filmed in England. Or hi, the new.
it was pretty ropey, but again, it's 1975. What do you expect?
Yes. Right, Joshua Dyball says, sorry, in a rush this week, but had to feed back on this story. I worked out I only would have been about five when watched this with my grandparents at Saturday tea time, and clearly remember being totally terrified of the Zygons. Not sure I'd show this to a five-year-old personally, but hey, I suppose that was the 70s. No wonder Mary Whitehouse was getting flustered. In fact, I was really upset after I watched the first few minutes of episode one and flashed straight back to their living room, clear as day. Especially the version I watched, including the original BBC introduction. I only lost them last year, 93 and 94, so I got quite upset. Had to pause it and recompose myself. Oh, bless you, Josh. Zygons creeped me out and were definitely behind the sofa material at the time. In retrospect, I still think this is one of the best stories ever. I imagine you all love it too, for the same reasons I do. Tom Baker is simply superb in this episode, truly in his element, one of the best. The thought of a mere touch from a potato man scared the hell out of me. When Doctor Who returned to our telly, like David Tennant, I longed for their return. It says I longer, so that's what confused me. I longed for their return and was so pleased to see them back again, but eventually. But of course, they could never be so scary to me again. 10 out of 10 for this story, a great story, and one which rekindles childhood memories. I don't think they did me any permanent damage. All the best, Josh. Excellent stuff, Josh. Oh yes, I suppose we better do this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast is in Kirk. Terror of the Zygons by Robert Banks Stewart. A race of aliens threaten the Earth and never star in another TV story until New Who. It now becomes clear how a few shapeshifters and their pet Loch Ness monster can take over the world. The monster is about what you would expect on a low budget. The whole thing seems to be a vehicle for the Scottish monster to appear on Doctor Who. At the end, Harry Sullivan decides not to travel back to HQ in the TARDIS, and that is the end of his adventures with the Doctor. The least ceremonial exit for a character.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thanks, okay. Ian.
Yes. Right, go on in, Andy.
All right, here we go. So this is my goodness. This is my chance to really... Yeah, try that, do Debbie.
Your chance
okay.
to impress us all, Andy.
A2 Broton or Sleeping with Zygons. Dear 20 Megabyters, The Terror of the Zygons is, of course, a closely studied 1970s Cold War parable, trotting out the standard Reds under the bed scenario and reflective of contemporary mores, steeping fears of infiltration onto concerns of over-dependence on petrochemical production. Long passively ensconced in rural backwater, the terror posed here is an expansionist Zygon menace with a small group of outliers preparing the way for a small suburban urbanization of the status quo. The Scarazon may be described as either a manifestation of the military threat under an underlying metaphor for an ideological threat. Infiltration is being implemented at all levels of the local society, just as revelations of recent years have shown this was the case in reality. Sowing uncertainty and mistrust is, of course, part of the corrosive power of this approach. The resolution may be interpreted as either a political or military refutation of the threat. It could, and that's actually wrong. I think it should be political or military. So sorry, Adam, Alan, you think you've mistyped there. Sorry. Yes. It should be noted, though, that as some might say, the Scarrison is a poor realization of the major part of the story. In fact, as a cyborg, it is perfectly consistent for it to look very unnatural. We also learn that the Kurnian actor was, in fact, a Zygon who, in his early years, posed as the Duke of Forgill, as well as Justine Kippert in the 1970s and 1980s. Also, Angus Thor from the Ice Wallace started as a publican who probably went out of his mind and abandoned his 70s grip on civilization in Scotland after a nasty shock with some Zygons, even before he had a pair behind him when he had a glass sitting on a glacier. All in all, Terror of the Zygons is a Doctor Who take on Invasion of the Body Snatchers trope, which is, to my mind, a little prosaic. As ever, a truly great main cast and great stars lift it considerably. The story is rather derivative and flat. Some of the Scottish scenery, such as that of the chase scene and Harry's close encounter of the bullet of the kind, are outstanding, and all the better for me being a couple of miles away at the time. As rubber aliens go, the Zygons are pretty good. It's probably about a half hour short because the fool cut out any scenes of the carriages crossing the river into the settled town of Littlehampton, paradoxically next door to the Scottish Highlands. If you look it up, you see that Wick, where I was, is in fact both Littlehampton and the Scottish Highlands. Next up, Doctor Who and the Forbidden Planet, or Meet My Auntie Matter. These are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, well done, Andy.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's really good. Thank you.
Don't get too used to it.
Okay, you're doing it from now on.
I was going to say, between Alan's writing and Andy's reading, I think I understood about half of that.
Yeah, nice one, Mary. Right. Okay, now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. You cannot talk over the theme tune. My point deduction for talking over the theme tune.
Right, can we have a 5-second pause, please? I need to go and deal with the system.
4.
I'll be back in about 10 seconds, okay?
10, 9, oh, sorry, no, what we can skip play here.
We have 60 seconds to escape the ship.
I know it's just you lot haven't got anything to say during this particular interim.
I like the music. Takes me back, it does.
Just imagine you're looking at some awful, childish paintings. Which were probably done by the children's parents anyway.
Yeah.
Is he back yet? It's going to run out in a minute. Kirby, tell him to hurry up.
Why would I tell him that?
Well, that might get him to hurry up. He said 10 seconds. Don't normally get to play the whole tune, to be fair. Magic's gone back to his little position by the door. Is he back yet?
I think he'll tell us when he's back.
It's a blooming long 10 seconds. Is there some sort of strange wibbly wobbly timey-wimey thing?
Yes.
Or does he just not understand
what
a second is? It sounds more like 10 minutes a second.
Time moves at a different pace, Guildford.
Well, judging by the pace in which you read Alan T. Butcher's... Oh, hang on, I think he's back. Hang on. Oh, no. Oh, he is back.
Zach's playing up a little bit, so...
Okay. Well, okay, you being back deserves one of these.
Right, Dawn's here as well, so let's
just try and calm him. Best behaviour. Best behaviour.
Try and calm him down. Right, Dawn, take him off. Okay, so right.
Best behaviour. Turby, best behaviour.
Okay. Right, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Dawn's taking him away. Okay, Dawn's here.
Yes.
We'll go for it then.
Was it Kirby that upset him, by the way? Was it Kirby that upset him?
It might have been Alan's feedback.
No, it can't have been that. Anyway, as I was saying... Yes, we finally get started with You Won't Get This One. But before we go into that, Alan T. Butcher says, I am impressed Mary understood as much as half. Much the same for me. And then he remarked, "The garm is life looking good this week." The garm is life looking good this week. Don't know what that means, but mind. Right, so Mary, who do you think is going to win this week? This is where you lot all go wrong with your selections, because it always backfires and leads to Andy winning. Right, so Mary, who do you think is going to win this week?
This time I am going to pick Andy.
Okay, that might backfire as well. Andy, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Obviously, that tactic is working quite well for you. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Andy.
And Debbie, who
you
do you think?
You mad fools.
Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Me.
Mary, who do you think is going to win?
I already said
lose.
Andy.
Sorry, lose. Last. Sorry, who do you think is going to be last?
Oh, it'll be me.
Okay. Andy, who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
Horrible to her, you are. Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
Debbie, who do you think is going to be last?
Andy.
God, so it shows that she hasn't listened for a few weeks. Okay, the current scores are, before we ask any questions, hang on, get me window open a bit wider, but don't forget your jokers, everyone. And in last place with no points, it's Kirby. In joint second place with 2 points each, it's Mary and Debbie. And in the lead with 3 points, it's Andy. First question goes to Mary. And it is this. I remember, everybody, there wasn't a quiz last week, so I've taken a bit of time to make sure I ask as most difficult questions as I possibly can.
Oh, my.
Right. I'll be ready. Right. Mary. What was the name of the man the oil rig operator was talking to at the beginning of the story?
Who he was talking to?
Yes, who he's talking to on the radio.
I know.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, go on then, Kirby.
Willie.
Hey.
Cheeky, what's it?
All right, correct. All right, Andy.
Hello, Willie, can you hear me? Hello, Willie.
Shut up. Andy.
Hello.
What was the Doctor's first exclamation of the story?
I know.
Oh, God, so they're walking into the woods. No idea.
Who said I know first?
I did.
We both did.
I did.
Yeah, I think Debbie was
No,
first.
I thought it was Debbie myself. Yeah, go on then, Debbie.
Bye.
Halt!
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What colour was the Duke of Forgill's Range Rover?
I know.
I have no idea.
Oh, good. Hang on. Whoa there. I've got to do this. And then Andy's going to give me the answer.
It was red.
Yay!
And Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the Kirby lookalike?
What?
I know.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I know.
Debbie, what was the name? Pardon?
Huckle? Yeah!
There's a joker on that one. Right, the bonus pot question has... Well, the bonus pot...
Hey, I've got a little tuft of hair where he had no hair.
Oh, right. It's supposed to be comedy, Kirby. He might have had the little tuft of hair shaved off for the episode. Right, bonus pot question is this. 3 points in it. 4. What was the name of the pub unit used as their base?
I know.
Oh, go on then, Andy.
It was the Fox.
Should have used your joker. So we've got 6 points instead of the 3. Right. Mary.
Yes.
What was the name of the oil company?
I know.
I didn't know that. I don't know.
Andy knows.
Ibernian.
Andy.
Okay, yep.
Where did the nurse Zygon pretend to go looking for Sarah while misleading the doctor to go into the decompression chamber?
Flipping heck. It was, I have actually got it written down somewhere. Hang on a second. It was, Hot 4. Oh, no.
Hang on. Anybody else?
No.
No. Okay, well, the answer.
Pharmacy. It was a pharmacy.
No, it was dispensary was the answer.
Oh, close. But
is there a difference?
Shut up, Kirby. I went easy on you then. Right then, Kirby.
Master?
Hang on, was that Kirby? Was that? Yeah. It is your question, isn't it?
It's my question.
Yes, it's Kirby's question, right. What was the last thing the doctor said to Sarah while hypnotizing her?
Actually, yeah, I've got it in my notes here.
I don't remember him saying that. I don't remember saying that.
Hang on.
Don't remember saying that either.
I know if he doesn't.
do you want the full phrase?
Just say what he said, for goodness sake.
Okay, it's Joker.
Right.
The entire phrase.
Oh, good God.
Okay, the last three words are "you feel nothing."
Oh, God, bloody hell. Broke my bell now. Eventually. Shouldn't give you the full Monty points for that one.
Keep looking into my eyes. You don't need to breathe. Do not breathe.
Shut up, or you get one of them points deducted.
Is someone reading from the script?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Look, I can send you a
don't worry.
Shut up.
Don't worry.
Shut up. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Sarah say as she woke up?
Joker, what happened?
That's what we're after. Right, there's 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. What did the Brigadier say when he came round after being gassed? Ooh, I'm very quiet again.
Oh, blimey. I'll have a go.
Go on,
why was I on the floor?
Yeah, it was like that, wasn't it?
It was something like that. That's why I didn't play with Joker, because it's not exactly like that.
No, it was... Ah, Doctor, there you are.
Oh.
So those 3 points stay in the bonus spot, and we move back up. Oh, I'll do a points update, actually, while we're here. In last place with 2 points, it's Mary. In third place with 5 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 8 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 9 points, it's Debbie. So, Mary. right. Mary, what was the title of Sarah's typed report?
I know.
Oh, Debbie knows. Pardon, Debbie. Sorry, Mary.
I said I don't know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Another Bermuda Triangle.
Correct.
Very good.
Who played the Joker in the last round?
I did, yes.
You played it, did you?
Yeah, yes,
sorry.
I did, yes.
I just need to correct that on here. Right. I've lost where I am there. Was that a bonus bot question?
No.
No, that was
there.
My question.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. So, Andy.
Okay, yep.
What did the doctor drive down to the beach in?
It was a Land Rover Jeep type thing.
Spot on. Should have played your Joker.
Yeah, I should have done, yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
When the device was stuck in the doctor's hand, or to the doctor's hand, what did he call it? You won't get this one.
I'm not going to get this one.
Anybody? Everybody's worried about... Too late, right. It was, you filthy thing.
Oh.
It just said filthy thing. It said you filthy thing. It said filthy thing. Right then. Whose question? It was Kirby's question, wasn't it? Right.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
How did Sarah release Harry?
By him convincing her that he was him? I don't know.
Nope.
Pressing a button?
A point deducted for having two guesses.
I think I'll have a go. There's a panel on the side. You put a hand on the panel.
Spot on.
Pressing a button. There you go.
No, that's not pressing a button, Debbie. No, that's
big
hand
button
on the panel.
Big enough for your hand.
Right, there's two people who haven't played Jokers yet. That's Mary and Andy.
I haven't either.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, I did.
Point deducted for lying.
No,
only joking.
No. You were right.
Only joking.
I admit.
I said only joking.
Right.
Shut up. I said, right then, bonus bot question. 7 points. So if anybody plays their Joker on this particular question, could be a bit of a game changer. Right. What did the doctor say when units started bombing the lock?
me as it sounds like the big deer. Yeah.
Well, you haven't got a joker to play, but it would have made a difference if you played it. yeah, right, yes. Well, I've just lost my page. Where's that gone? Right, okay. So, nice point update. In last place with 2 points, Mary. In third place with 5 points, Kirby. Second place with 11 points, Andy. And in the lead with 16 points, it's Debbie. She's back, everyone.
Go, Andy. Go, Andy. Come on.
I need to come second, don't I, obviously?
Right, Mary.
now you know my old strategy.
Yeah.
Mary.
Yes.
There's a line I'm going to read, and you're going to fill in the blank. That's essentially the missing word, which is a bit of a homage to the theme music of this show, because it was originally the American version of Blankety Blank. So I'm going to read this line, fill in the missing word. Are you ready?
Okay, sure.
You can't rule a world in hiding. You've got to come out onto the beep sometimes and wave a tentacle.
Yeah. Come out on the balcony.
Yeah, balcony.
Is that correct? Right, next question goes to Andy.
Yep.
Where did the Brigadier order aircraft to stand by?
In the air.
no, I wouldn't have thought so. But yeah, go on.
I know.
No, I don't know. No idea.
Kirby knows.
Can I mispronounce it?
As long as it's phonetically correct, yes.
I don't know if it's Inverness or Inverness or...
Inverness.
You said it right the first time.
By the way, I posted a picture of my notes screen. Actually, it's my quotes screen, proving I wasn't reading.
Shut up.
Hey, Kirby. Just digging, Kirby, honestly.
Kirby. your
We've
question.
Seen Debbie's notes, too.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
Your question.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Who did Sarah try to intercept a call from while the Doctor was on the spaceship?
The female Prime Minister.
Correct. That's a bit easy, that one, wasn't it? All right, Debbie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where did the triangulations pinpoint the signal to?
I think I know.
Disused quarry near Brentford.
Oop, lost my bell. That's better.
Yep, that was it, yep.
That's a bit more right. Hang on. I'm on the wrong window. So there's 1 point in the bonus pot. How did the Doctor gain escape from the Zygon ship?
He ran away.
He ran away.
Hey?
Fire alarm?
Correct. Fire alarm. He set off the fire alarm. Right. So, not many questions left there. In fact, there's 4 questions left, and there's 4 of you, which is quite useful in some ways. So the scores are at the moment. In last place with 6 points, Mary. In third place with 8 points, Kirby. In second place with 11 points, Andy, who hasn't played his joker yet. And in the lead with 19 points, it's Debbie.
Andy, play your joker.
You'll have to. Otherwise, I'll have to think of some sort of forfeit. Right. Mary.
Yeah.
What was the Duke president of?
Mary.
I think I know.
President of the Scottish Energy Commission.
Yep.
Correct. Andy.
Well, I've got to play me Joker because I've got
you
no choice.
Play your Joker on this question either way. What was the real name of the Loch Ness Monster?
It was a Scarazin.
He's correct.
Yay.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What was the last thing the Brigadier ever said to the Fourth Doctor?
I think I know.
I know.
Oh, no, thank you.
Took long enough,
yes,
didn't it?
Yes, that was it. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And Debbie.
Yes.
The last line of the story was...
I thought you were a Scotsman.
Right.
Well, I would consider the entire thing, both sentences.
I love
you should have taken them and got your refund, man.
Okay, so the current scores before adjustments are in last place with 8 points, Mary, in third place with 10 points, Kirby, in second place with 15 points, Andy, in the lead with 21 points, it's Debbie. Right, Mary predicted Andy to win, and predicted Mary to be at the bottom.
Well done, Mary.
Andy predicted Kirby to win, and predicted Mary to be at the bottom.
Setting up housekeeping down here.
Yeah. Kirby predicted Andy to win and Mary to be at the bottom. Debbie predicted Debbie to win and Andy to be at the bottom. So therefore, final scores are in last place with 16 points, it's Mary. In third place with 20 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 30 points, it's Andy. And the winner this week, she's back, yes, everybody, 42 points, it's Debbie.
That is the answer.
So before we move on to Doctor Who news, we have on the live feed, we have Kirby Bartlett Kirby Bartlett Hone saying proof. He's so pedantic, isn't he? I think just because he worries about such things, it definitely deserves a bit of this. Right, Doctor Who News.
Master, you can see I'm always prepared with multiple quotes just in case someone tries to take one of mine.
I got some multiple quotes, now you come to mention it. My quotes I had multiples of. We need your body print. There are times, Doctor, when you talk absolute nonsense. Boom sounds like the Brigadier. And you can't rule a world in hiding. You've got to come out onto the balcony sometimes and wave a tentacle. Those are my chosen quotes. I used one of them. Aren't I nice? None of you had the other quotes, did you?
No.
Because I knew I could predict that you were going to use the predictable quotes, which I can't remember which way they were. The ones that Kirby used, basically, the predictable quotes.
Some of mine aren't predictable.
If you say so. Right, Doctor Who News. It says 50 years of the Brigadier. So the 17th of February 1968, 50 years ago yesterday, the Web of Fear Part 3 transmitted... for the one and only time ever to be seen again, and the brief sighting on the film in a tin, blah 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 blah, and that's of course the first time that Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart and his slug, because he had a little slug stuck to his top lip,
yes, proper one, wasn't it? Look at
entered
that picture.
The canon of Doctor Who. So what a fitting moment that we talk about his last regular appearance in the show today. The Seventh Doctor and Ace come to Titan Comics.
Yay!
Interesting, the Titan comic link to Isle of Wight Comic Con, because of course Alistair Pearson has very close links with Titan Comics, having actually done artwork for them. And of course
they're about to announce the comic guests, aren't they?
They are. And of course, we have featured in these comics the Seventh Doctor and Ace. We nearly had Ace at the Comic Con, but that backfired a little bit. But we have got the Seventh Doctor, and I'm going to buy one of. I'm going to have to buy one of the video opportunities that we are doing, which is ironic. I'm paying for something that my company's doing, but no matter. It's the only way I can get it done. With Sylvester, because I've had pictures taken with him. I think this time's to do a video. So £30 for a 30-second video link, video clip. Sorry, with Sylvester McCoy. If anybody wants to go to Wild Comic Con, that's a very exclusive facility. You get to do a video with Sylvester. Anyway, back to Doctor Who news. What else we got here? Doctor Who magazine circulation figures have been issued. They really are scratching around for news, aren't they? Hovering around the 20,000 mark, essentially. The 12th Doctor comic It says a Doctor Who, 12th Doctor, Year 3, number 12. So that's out as well. Not a lot to report, is there? 13th Doctor comic to arrive this autumn. I suppose that's fitting. We haven't seen it yet.
Oh, is that Torchwood with Vervoids?
Torchwood with Vervoids. I don't know.
Yeah. In the same article.
Is it?
Torchwood. I'm just seeing something on Facebook. Jason's just posted up that Murray Gold has confirmed that this year's Gallifrey One convention he will no longer be composing music for Doctor Who.
We knew that anyway.
We knew that.
I didn't. Sorry.
There's a video. Well, you should stay. You should appear on the show. We talk about stuff like this, don't we, Kirby?
Yes.
Sorry.
Right, Billy. See Billy Piper in New York. Billy Piper is offering fans a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to fly to New York and see her Broadway hit Yerma for just £1. Oh yeah, that'd be quite good, wouldn't it? Talking about Gallifrey One, that's a convention I would like to go to one day, but I can't see it ever happening unless I win the lottery or something. They've got some fab things going on there, haven't they? I wonder how Laurie's getting on. She was supposed to be our representative there. That went a bit quiet.
Yep. I haven't seen any posts from her.
No. Maybe some beams will be post. Get it? There'll be some beams from her later. Posts, beams. No? Okay.
Yeah, Doctor Who News had the report about Murray Gold on December 1st, 2017.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kirby. I don't rub it in poor Debbie's face, otherwise I'll be deducting points for next week. So, yes, essentially, not a lot going on in the world of Doctor Who that's being reported. There have been some very interesting little photographs that people are posting from behind the scenes
of the new series of Doctor Who.
What?
We can have a fight now, because the big fight over the past week has been over the bum bag.
Oh, yes.
Oh, fanny pack. Fanny bum pack,
yeah. Fanny I'm not going to have a fight about that, because it's very inappropriate.
Bum bag.
Don't care. Right, yeah, so...
I've said bum bag all along. So
it's not spoilerific. The pictures I've seen are not spoilerific. They're pictures of the cast running across a bridge. Doesn't give us any clues about any storylines or anything like that.
Actually, it does.
No, shut up, Kirby.
No. Something serious. Not serious. Something that we discussed at the end of the Christmas special. It's not. We were going, okay, is the entire series going to be the Doctor looking for the TARDIS? Obviously not.
Okay, thank you.
Because we've seen lots of pictures of the TARDIS.
Good. Well, I don't want to know about that. All I'm talking about is the fact that it's quite exciting seeing these little shots that we're getting from behind the scenes. So it just makes me all the more eager for the new series. Right. Whowon.co.uk has still
got... Whowon.co.uk?
Has still got the new Mr. Man Doctor books available at around about the £4.99 one, especially the Doctor Fifth that I think I should buy just because it's my favourite Doctor.
But I've got most of them now.
No, you've got most of them. Point deducted for being a bit of a show-off.
I'm not being a show-off. I'm just saying. Ida loves them.
Is there a Doctor 7 one?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you ought to get that autographed.
Yes, I'm going to take it with me, if I can.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, you can buy these products from whowon.co.uk along with Doctor Who Magazine 522, which is Empire Daleks on the cover. Coming soon, as far as the pre-order goes, you can get the espresso set. So if you like espressos, which I don't, but you can get a set of little tiny mugs with Daleks, TARDISes, etc. on them and have an espresso in them. There's some also some Big Finish audio on CD, Ghost Walk, Kingdom of Lies, Series 7, Volume 1, featuring the Fourth Doctor and Leela, and War Master 1, Only the Good. Which is a as the War Master stories featuring Sir Derek Jacobi as the Master. I wish they'd bring him back to the series Doctor Who, just sort of bring that version of the Master back before he went a bit loopy. Love to see Derek Jacobi rekindle the Master, but I think he might look a bit too old to play the part now, because it would look a bit odd, wouldn't he? He'd be sort of old, he'd be younger, then he'd be older. You know, so it wouldn't really work unless they could do the same sort of special effects they did on Brad Pitt in one of my favourite films, which was called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Love that film.
That movie, huh? Okay.
I've never seen it.
Love that film. Jeff, any of you ever watched A Time Traveler's Wife?
No.
No. Love that film. Bloody super. Brilliant movies. Try out of the two, I would suggest all of you, if even if you haven't got a romantic hair on your head, I haven't got any hair on
like
my head,
really,
please watch Time Traveler's Wife. It is superb. It's a brilliant, brilliant story. It's romantic-ish, but it's mainly about the... It's just superb. It's a fantastic... I've watched it three times, and I don't like watching films over and over again. That's it, I think, apart from lavazzi.co.uk, who I need to send an invoice to. I'll try and do that tomorrow. Debbie, remind me to send Lavazzi an invoice tomorrow, otherwise they're going to be sponsors for free, and that wouldn't be appropriate.
Why don't you ask Alexa to remind you?
Because she did remind me that I took no notice of her and forgot. Right.
I'll remind you.
Thank you, Debbie. She's lovely. I'm going to change Alexa's name to Debbie. No, that would be really confusing in this house.
Unfortunately, you can't.
Shut up, Kirby. Right then, now, yes, you can get Fourth Doctor scarves, the iconic sort of sign of a Doctor Who fan in some ways. I very blatantly and very what's the word for it? When you sort of walk around blatantly, obviously, and showing offly, Debbie, you know about all these funny words that people can use in the English language. No, I'm walking around blatantly showing off my Whovianism by wearing a very, very long scarf dangling down to the ground and a long coat. The only thing I need is a hat.
Is it grandstanding?
Is that it? I've never heard that one before. It's not quite the phrase I was looking for.
Showing off.
Yeah, showcasing. That's it. Showcasing my fandom by not exactly being the Fourth Doctor, but being a Doctor Who fan by wearing a long black coat, very long Fourth Doctor scarf, and needing a Fourth Doctor hat just to tip it off, because I don't think the baseball cap I generally wear with the setup really works. I really do need a hat to fit, and I know that there's a shop in Newport that sells hats similar to that, and it's that old bloke shop. Is it called Fields?
Fields. I was going to say.
They've got them in the window, but I think they're about 50 quid a time, these hats, but I really do want
them. Every time I walk past to do the banking, I'm like, cool!
Yeah, cool. And they're nice sort of red velvet Fourth Doctor
hats.
Yeah,
it's so expensive, but wow, it is perfect.
Yeah, I want one. So I don't know how I'm going to get around. My birthday's coming up. It's in May. But I did want to get a tease made for my birthday. So I don't know if I'm actually going to have the funds to get that particular
tease made. How cool.
Oh, they are cool. I want one. Because I'm never allowed in the kitchen when Deb's doing customers to actually make myself a cup of tea. She always moans. So I thought, what I'm going to do, have the tease made. It'll be ready for me when I get home from work at 2:10, a cup of tea.
What is a tease made?
It's a little like a clock radio, but instead of going beep beep, but it does go beep 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 when
makes
the time comes,
tea.
It makes you a cup of tea. So you wake up in the morning, if you wanted to use it that way, with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee ready, hot for you to drink.
Oh.
By your bedside.
You know what I do?
What?
I take a mug, I put a tea bag in it, I put water in it, I put it in the microwave.
Oh my god!
You Americans really have not got a clue on how to consume tea.
No, they don't. They just don't understand how to make proper tea.
No, they do not.
No way to make a brew, honestly.
That is almost what you would call blasphemy against the
tea. I was going to say heresy, but yeah, you're right.
It's like Baldrick's way of making cappuccino by just a cup of mud and spitting into it.
How to do it?
Sorry, Americans, sorry, you just don't know how to do it. You just don't get it.
Stop slandering all Americans.
Sorry, Mary.
Some of us do it right.
Sorry, Mary.
I even buy P&G tips or Yorkshire.
P&G?
P&G? Do you mean PG?
Yorkshire tea's lovely, Mary. Take no notice
Yorkshire
of Andy.
Tea. Yeah, that's what we have Yorkshire
tea. Yeah, we
tea.
Have Yorkshire tea. That is the,
I have that. To have decaf now. It's very
interesting. Yeah, I'm afraid that the tea that we buy, like, we just stocked up on tea yesterday at Chinese New Year in Chinatown. So we got Chinese tea.
Yeah, yum.
Nothing wrong with Chinese tea, but my tea of choice is Yorkshire tea, and it's delicious. I used to have Tetley, but it's much weaker than Yorkshire tea. Yorkshire tea is proper tea. It's lovely stuff, that is. Yeah. Right then, and before we go, Joshua Dybal says, get a lot of smiles from people when wearing mine. I think he's talking about scarves. And then he says, hat too.
I actually had someone stop me in Newport the other day when I was wearing mine and go, wow, that's really cool. Are you a fan? And I went... Maybe.
I ought to wear mine more. I do tend to wear either Doctor Who t-shirts or Hitchhiker's Guide t-shirts.
Yes.
Oh, I like what you were wearing when you went to Chinatown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you know, I was very naughty during Chinese New Year. I didn't consume any Chinese food, and I really should have done.
Yeah, that Don't Panic t-shirt, I was wearing that one about 3 weeks ago when I went to a model train show. And I had more people stop me at a model train show saying, I love your shirt. I don't know why. It's the Don't Panic Whale shirt.
It's because geekdom is far and wide among train lovers.
And right,
a whole bunch of Sheldons, right?
Pardon?
There. It's lots of Sheldons, science fiction and trains.
Oh yeah. Apparently, there's a new series coming up called Sheldon that features Sheldon as a child.
Young Sheldon, you haven't seen it? It's wonderful.
I don't know. I haven't seen it because I'm in series two of The Big Bang Theory, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Love it.
Anyway, Joshua Dybal says Earl Grey for me. I used to love Earl Grey when I used to have sugar in my tea. Must try it again with that one day. Before we go, I just wanted to talk about some of the things I've been watching recently. So they've just finished Star Trek Discovery on Netflix here. What a series finale that was. It didn't imply there was going to be any more, but it had a very satisfying end. And normally series finales sort of have a semi-satisfying end, and then they're sort of a cliffhanger for the next series. This didn't have
holding what happened.
I beg your pardon?
Tom. I ruined the ending for Tom. I was discussing it with him and he hadn't caught up yet. Sorry.
That's not very all right. Point deduction for Debbie for ruining it for Tom. But yes, it was fab ending, and anybody is of course, there wasn't too many sort of references to other Star Trek stuff in the series. It really was a series on its own. But the last episode had a very beautiful reference to the canon of Star Trek, so that was very enjoyable. Orville is coming to an end on Fox. Every episode has been absolutely superb. I can't recommend Orville enough. So if you're a geek or whatever, like Star Trek, you know, like that sort of stuff, Orville is got to be watched. And I'm thinking I might have to watch Stranger Things because Isabella doesn't watch anything else. I've got to have a look at it, see what it's like. So when we're out of stuff to watch, I think Stranger Things. But I'll tell you what, I love watching the animated Star Trek because it's only 20-minute episodes. Obviously, then you can watch a 20-minute episode of Big Bang Theory. So these little bursts of television that don't make me fall asleep because I get a bit tired later in the evening. So they're really, really good. Trying to fit Doctor Who in as well. Talking of Doctor Who, the next story is called Planet of Evil.
Yep.
Yay.
And we have done this one before, as Kirby alluded
to. 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Any of you watched it before?
I watched it when we did it, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it when we did it. I haven't seen it since.
Have you watched it, Debbie?
Yeah, I've watched it before.
Okay, that's no problem. You don't get banned from the episode if you've already seen it. I'm just curious. Right, then, let's have a look at the old calendar. It dictates the 25th of February. There's nothing on, so we can do it next week. How's that?
Absolutely fine.
Hey. Okay.
I'll be on call, so it's a guess.
It's a maybe for you then, Mary, is it?
It's a maybe, yeah.
Okay. Well, could you do me a favour, just in case it maybe becomes a definite? Hello? Anybody there?
Do what?
Oh, yeah. If it turns out you can't come on the show, could you do one of your lovely feedbacky things just to tell us what you thought of it?
Oh, all right.
Obviously, okay. You'd have to know beforehand.
I usually don't know until that morning and I'm already in the hospital.
How about preparing one just in case?
Things are already going on.
How about preparing one as a contingency plan?
And then
we'll use the real you just in case.
Send it if I'm nowhere near my computer.
Oh, for goodness sake. It was only a thought. Right, so next week, Planet of Evil, everybody. Big sorry, Kirby.
I was going to say, for the past several weeks, but particularly since we started on Fourth Doctor Stories, Fred has been joining me down here to watch my first run through of each. I'm typically watching 2 to 3 times now, but she's joining me for the straight run through, no subtitles, no commentary, no nothing. Just watch it through, and she is thoroughly enjoying it, has been waiting for us to finish today so we could continue with Planet of Evil tonight.
Excellent.
So all the times you watch it and you still don't win the quizzes, huh?
Yeah.
It depends on the questions.
Here we go. It depends on the question. Well, that's what a quiz is about, Kirby.
The color of a vehicle? Come on.
Yeah, Kirby, the trick is to pay attention and stop moaning when you get it wrong.
I was ready for a question I expected from you, because normally they like to use the Range Rovers.
Hmm.
And they couldn't get all Range Rovers, so there was a mixture of one Jeep and one Range Rover. I expected you to ask that.
Whatever. Right. Joshua Dyball says, Star Trek Discovery, simply amazing. Have been so impressed watching it all over again, which I recommend. I might watch it all over again before the next series comes out, and I do hope there's another series. So, next week, Planet of Evil, thank you all for coming along and listening and watching, stroking, whatever we want to do. Stroking, even the show. Why did I say stroking? That just makes sense. Anyway, thanks for coming along. Thanks for being here. And thanks you lot that don't normally turn up for the show for turning up this week. It's been
pleasure.
Very, very kind of you to come on. So, goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye, y'all.
Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.